Well, glory. God is so good. He's good all the time. I'm thankful to be in His house. Am I loud enough? Because I need to be loud. Because if I can't get to that decibel, I'm going to get that way one way or the other. But anyhow, God is so good, and I'm happy to be in His house. And I want you to know this morning that God is perfecting every single thing that concerns you. God cares about what you're going through. God's taking the time out of today, and He's going to minister to you. And you know, before this service, God was saying to me, Sister Angie Kelly, don't you worry about the people that aren't in the pew today. No, you worry about the ones that are sitting in the pew, because I'm going to minister to them in a mighty, mighty way. Because see, ministers, they have a tendency to be concerned about this, that, or the other. But I'm going to tell you, if we would turn our eyes on Jesus Christ, we would have a lot less concerns. Because you know what? God's either healing the people that are out sick. He's drawing the people that are in a backslidden state. Amen. There are people that are in a backslidden state. They belong right here in these seats in Paris Christian Center. And the devil is keeping them held up. But I thank God, because every chain will be broken. Every addiction will be broken. Everything will be broken off of God's people. Whatever it is, you know, we like to act smart. We like to think that we know what's all wrong with everybody. We don't know. Just when you think that you know what's going on with a person, you don't know. You're not them. You don't know the brokenness that they feel. You have no idea. You don't know if they're depressed, oppressed, whatever. And so you know what? We got to spend less time acting like we know it all, and more time just serving the one that does know it all. Because He knows. He knows how to bring them loved ones about. He knows how to turn them around. He knows how to let them go as far as they need to go till they come to the point in their self where they say, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop living that way. I'm going to stop. Amen. Well, hey, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. And we're going to start out looking at verses 4. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me. And I'm telling you today that the word of God, it's coming to you. See, there's been a hold up. Yes. Nobody has to tell you that. When there's a hold up, you know it. There's been a hold up. But God says, my word is coming to you, and it's coming today. Amen. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you and I had you figured out. See, God knew you. Before you knew Him, He knew you. And it says, before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you. Now there's a lot of people, there's a lot of Christians, they don't know what God has appointed them to do. They don't know what their calling is. They don't know what they need to do. And we got to figure that out. See, why don't you know? We got to get that. We got to stop letting these years pass by us, because we ain't got that kind of time. We got to start knowing what God is appointing us to do, what He's called us to do. Then we got to stop making excuses why we ain't doing that. Amen. And it says, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now we're looking at the very beginning of the calling of Jeremiah. See, there's a very beginning of the calling of you. God knows what it is. He knew what it was before you were even conceived. He knew it. But it's not enough for God to know it. You got to know it. You got to know where you're going. And Jeremiah said, oh, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. Now, this is what we do with God a lot of times. God will say, I'm going to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you say, well, God, you can't do that because I'm only this. I'm only that. I made some bad decisions. I made a wrong turn here. That can't be for me. And God's saying, it is for you. Recognize it. I've appointed you. Stop telling me, but only. And he says, I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. Man, the word of God is powerful. Here's Jeremiah, and he's telling the Lord every reason why he cannot do what God has called him to do. He's saying, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. I don't know what's up. I don't know what's down. That surely couldn't be for me. You're not. Man, prophets speak. And he's saying, that ain't for me. I can't do that. And God said, yes, you can, because I've reached down my very hand today and I've touched your mouth. Amen. Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And you know, the title of this message is God, touch my mouth. Amen. Glory, there should be way more amens to that. Because some of us really need the Lord to come down and touch this mouth, because it's out of hand. And if you can't admit that, you lying right up in God's house. Me first. But see, I keep it real. I will keep it real. Jody, my mouth is out of control sometimes. I need the Lord to literally, physically come down and to smack it half the time. See, we need God to come down and to touch our mouth, because some of the holdup in your life, some of the holdup in my life is because the words that we've spoken were not right. You wish you could unsay something. You wish you could have said it better. You wish you wouldn't have said it at all. It's our mouth. Now, very few churches will preach to you about your mouth, and very few people will tell you your mouth's out of control. And it's cost you a lot of heartache. It's cost you grief and despair. But you know what? I'm going to preach about your mouth, because if I can help you get that mouth under control, where you're not spewing off everything that you think, man, God's going to come down and he's going to touch what's going on up in your life. He's going to put his hand over that situation that ain't been right in a long time. See, there's things that are literally held up over that little thing in the middle of our face. Because we cannot keep our mouth shut. And I get it. Ain't nobody likes a better telling off than me. I love to give them. And then I think, ugh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? God help me. I've been thinking on a thing for 14 months. I have had the urge for 14 months to call somebody up and just to raise absolute heck with them. But I've learned a few things over the past 14 months, and there's something inside of me now that wants to control that devil that wants to come out of this mouth. And I ask God, God, why won't you give me the okay to call this person up? They're holding my life up. And you know what it is? The words of God, they're still not in this mouth. Can you be honest with yourself?
Oh, help us, Lord.
They're still not there. Because if they were, there would have been a release. See, a lot of people go off and they do all this stuff and they stamp God's name on it. Well, God told me so. God told me I could do it. I'm guilty of that myself. There's things that I wanted to do so bad that Brother Mike, I just put God's name on it. God wasn't more involved in that than the man in the moon. And I just, to get everybody off my back, I said, God said I could do it. Well, God is not a man that he should lie. If God told you you could do it, man, the power of God will be all over that situation. It'll come out looking better than it ever could have been looking. But you know what? Very few times does that happen, because very few times does people let God touch their mouth. It sounds good. Who doesn't want God touching their mouth? I mean, that sounds great until you have to shut up. Yeah, I said it. Shut up. It sounds really good to say, God, touch my mouth. But when he touches it, a lot of times he shuts it. It's a mystery. Why? Because a lot of times what you're wanting to say is not right. You realize that after you cuss people out. Now, I don't do that. But I got some people in my life that definitely wouldn't hesitate. But I swear, that's not something I have a real problem with. But let me tell you something. God wants to reach down today, and he wants to touch your mouth. And in order to touch your mouth, he's going to touch your heart. Amen. See, a lot of people are numb inside. A lot of people, they don't know what's up and they don't know what's down. They don't know where they should go to church here because Brother Angelo is offensive. I hate to tell you, he give up caring about that on day one. Dude just don't care. He gonna preach it and he gonna tell it like it is. But you know what? God wants to see what's going on with you in your mouth. Because God doesn't like when his kids are held up. But sometimes, nonetheless, we're still held up. Let's go to Psalms chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 14. And it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. See, those two things, they go hand in hand. You don't have one without the other. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. That's why God's word says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is speaking. Because whatever is in there, it's coming out. And that's why you see a lot of the quarrels and the ridiculousness and Facebook and social media, they ain't made that no better because people will say things they would never say to you to your face because, see, when you up in your house and you're under the blankets and you feel like smarting off, you just smart off. I've done that. And it ain't right. People got to let their yes be yes and their no be no. And most importantly, you got to realize that not every opinion of yours is right, number one. And number two, not every opinion of yours needs to be spoken. Well, I don't know what to do when y'all just agree with everything. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. See, there's a lot of things going on in the Christian heart, and they're not concerned with the fact that what they're saying and what they're doing isn't pleasing God. Because after all, we're stamping God's name on everything. Stop doing that. Get in touch with God and realize you're wrong. A lot of things that I've been thinking here lately, they've not been right. Amen. I'll preach it about myself because it doesn't matter. If I sit up here and lie to y'all for 45 minutes and yet I go out there, does that really matter? It doesn't. See, I'm either going to be truthful and honest or I'm just going to be here not helping anybody. I'd rather be here and help some folks. My mouth gets me in trouble. I say things that I shouldn't say. But first, Stephanie, they're conceived right here. Before I tell that person off, it's done it in here. And here lately, I've said, God, help me to get to the point. These two things are saying the same thing. See, one mind and one accord, you got to get that heart of yours to start feeling better about the thing that your mouth is having a problem with. Because whatever this heart up in here is stowing away, you're going to say it. You're going to have a bad day. You're going to have a moment. you're going to have an Italian moment and it's going to come out. And then everybody knows you. But before anybody gets to knowing you, God said, I knew you. Nobody's going to love you and understand you better than God. He said, I know you. I set you apart. I called you. I sent my son to die for you so you could walk in your calling. Now get the mouth under control, because see, we're going to do some awesome things. But the mouth has got to change. Why? Does anybody in here love to be held up? Love to stay in the same spot for years at a time? Who wants to go on and have a good life? Amen. Then this is the message for you. Glory. So anyways, this stuff has got to be pleasing. That's a tall order. I'd like to call a couple people up and be like, Heifer? What is the holdup? You know? I'd like to tell them a few more things that I won't say on the streaming. God's saying, Kelly? I hate when he says this because it just puts me in check instantly. Kelly, if you could get those words that you've premeditated, if you could get them ones out and you could get my words. See, God's touched your mouth. He touches it every day. He's telling you not to say that. Don't give that person a piece of your mind. Don't do that. Don't think that thought. But see, if you're very honest with yourself, who loves to binge watch TV in here? Glory be to Jesus. We've got some honest saints today. Nothing better to me than binging eating and binging watching TV. And I'm going to tell you that I love to binge in my mind thinking about what I would love to say and do to people I don't like. And sometimes I will have a full-blown argument, Megan, in my head with people I ain't even seen in a year. And I'll be telling them, and then I'll get outside and go into Dad's house, and he's going, are we having a good day? And I'm thinking, no, I just got in an argument with this person, and it was all in my head. Now, I wouldn't be preaching about it if we didn't do that. How many of you have these arguments in your head with that person that gets under your skin? In your mouth, one day you'll see them in the grocery store and they'll get there after you because you can't patrol every time everybody's going to go to the grocery store, and you'll turn down an aisle and there they'll be. And you've either got it under control or you don't. And what I've been doing here lately is I've been practicing being nice to people. That it's not that I don't necessarily like them, but they're not my favorite person. And I'm working my way up to being able to do this with my full-blown enemy. Now, my mother is the sweetest person. She loves everybody. And I got none of that. Mother will probably get nothing out of this because this isn't her problem. I'm not even sure she has problems. Let's go to Psalms chapter 107. We're going to look at this in the King James Version, verses 1 through 3. Now, I understand that this is a very honest message, but I'm so honest because there's such a problem in the church with honesty.
Help us, Lord.
Everybody's acting. Everybody's making a show. You need one person in there that they're going to lay all the act down and they're going to be honest. They're going to give you something to think about. They're going to make you stop and say, why am I doing this year after year? Now it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. See, the word redeemed, it means when something is redeemed, there's been somebody come in there and put something over something, compensating for it. There's a lack in us. There's a flaw in us that makes us want to run our mouth. Some people got a bad temper. Some people got a bad mouth. Some people got this and some people got that. And the Lord has redeemed you, and He's put that redemption all over that. And He's saying, I'm going to compensate for the fact you have this problem. Most people in the world, they have this problem. There are very few Sister Millies. Very few. I mean, I don't know any more of them. You know. But see, the redeemed person has to say, so, well, what are we saying? Well, we're going to start off by saying, heart, you stop hating that person. Heart, stop being bitter. Heart, stop telling yourself it's never going to get any better. Heart, stop telling yourself, well, 5 years will pass and this is exactly how it's going to be forever. It's always going to be this way. You get in those situations where that's how you feel. You feel like there's never going to be a turnaround. There's never going to be a change. I'm going to always be in this whatever that makes me so darn miserable. That's not the truth. But the redemption in you has to rise up and say, uh-uh. No, it's not. This is something I'm going through. It's not always going to be this way. It's turning around. And you begin to tell that problem and that situation and the hold up, you're turning around. See, way before we ever got this building, we were on the square. We used to drive past here. I was about 7 or 8 years old, and Dad would roll down the window. And I used to think, oh, this dude gets crazier and crazier. He'd roll down that window, Jody, and he'd put out his hand and he'd say, God, I thank you that you are delivering that building right up into the hands of Parish Christian Center. See, if you won't speak it out by faith and you keep on blubbering your mouth at something that don't matter. See, really, if I would get honest with myself, my little hold up with my little enemy, see, God's making that enemy smaller each and every single day that I'll act right. That's just the truth of it. If I'll do what I'm supposed to do, if I'll woman up, I hate to say it, but if I will, if I'll be that woman that God wants me to be, that enemy is just defeated a little bit more every single day, Stephanie, that I'll just say, God, have your way. God, I love that enemy. God, you're going to have to put the love up in there because it ain't there on its own. But God, if you'll give it to me, I'll release it. God, I'll say the right thing this time. God, I'll stop doing this division thing where I want to just tear everything up. See, we tear these things up with our mouth. You get mad at somebody. Somebody does you wrong. Somebody hurts you and they break your heart. And you want to sit there and you want to throw yourself a pity party with your mouth. Stop. Because by the time God gets done with that situation, the last thing that you're going to want to do is throw yourself a pity party. Because, see, you're going to want to throw yourself a glory party because God is going to get glory out of the situation. He just is, because that is what God does. But while we're still running this thing called our mouth, it's getting us in trouble. And I know y'all probably sick of hearing this. I got 20 more minutes to tell y'all about it. I'm going to take that 20 minutes because 20 minutes still isn't long enough to try to get some of us to control what's been going on wrong for the last several years. Amen. Now let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Isn't it amazing the thing that gets this mouth going so much? Most of the time is because of somebody we don't like. Now I'm going to say that again. Most of the time, what gets our mouth going is because somebody we don't like. Now, there may be a situation around that person, but when you knock all that stuff out of the way, what you have is a thing that's been done, and there's a hurt feeling there, and what you gotta do is you gotta say this right here. I am crucified with Christ. I'm a dead man walking. Because the moment God takes His hand off me, it's done. I'm done. What do? We position ourselves to where God don't take His hand off you. How do we do that? Paul said, I believe it's Paul, and if it ain't, Dad will correct me. And I'll be thankful for it, and I won't get offended for it. Okay. Lots of people get offended by everything he says. You need to cut the pastor a break. Amen? Paul said, I buffet myself.
Well, that was Paul.
That was Paul.
He didn't go to the buffet.
He didn't go to the buffet. I love buffets. He said, I buffet myself. What does that mean? I get in a knockdown drag out with my own self, and I make myself do right. I make myself say the right thing. There are days that, Angie, I just sit there, and I get in that king-size bed, and I put that cover over my head, and I just cry because, you know what? I'm so darn proud of myself that I didn't say what I wanted to say. I feel like, oh, my God, people can really change because I'm changing. I didn't say that thing that I wanted to say. I didn't say that thing that I rehearsed in my head when I met that person and I finally came into contact. See, there's a change that God wants to do, and it's going to start with your heart. God's going to touch your heart because I love God more than I love hating that enemy. And God's changing something in me where I'm like, you know, why do I hate that person? They're a jerk and everybody knows it. And if I'm not careful, everybody knows that about me. Don't let your enemy make you look bad. Don't let somebody's sin make you sin. Yeah? They wronged you. What did God say he would do for you? I'll make everything right. I'll right every wrong. I'll mend every broken place. I'll put you in a part of your life where you're better. Now, I think Mama Brenda's in that nursery, Miss Joy, if you want to let Mama Brenda have her. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. We're looking at verses 18 through 19. And it says, reckless words pierce like a sword. See, who have you pierced? I got into an argument one time with Shelley about 8 years ago. Oh, my gosh. I argued with her. And then I called back and she didn't answer. So I left it on the voicemail. I called Shelley everything but a white woman. When I got off the phone, I thought I was going to feel instant gratification. I didn't. I felt instant guilt. And it hit me so hard that I didn't talk to her for a long time because I was so ashamed of how I talked to her. Now, we have a problem with our little human head because the other side of me wants to say she deserved it. We'll do something to somebody. We'll think they deserved it. I mean, I just gave to them what they deserved. God ain't pleased with that. Who left you in charge of what people deserve? Because I've got news for everybody. And this is going to come off very strong. And I hope it's not going to be twisted. But hear me. You deserved hell. Very few preachers will tell you that. You had a loving God that said, I don't want to see them burn in hell for eternity. I love them too much. Yeah. They're the apple of my eye. Yeah. I can't help but love them people. So I'm going to give up the one thing that I have, and it's my son. And when he did that, we lost the right to say that person deserves it because they're wicked, because they've hurt me so bad, because they talked about me, because they spread lies about me, because they wronged me, because they left me. People going to leave you. People going to hurt you. People going to break you. That's what people do, and I got news for it. You do it too. And the day that you realize that God loves your enemy just as much as he loves you, you're going to be on your way. Because there's something about that thought, Mary, that touches my heart. Because I know how much I hate them. And God's still going, Kelly, but I love them. And I want you to love them. It don't matter what they've done. Get over that. Brush over that. Love them. Something about that seems abnormal. But it's the God kind of way. And he said, my ways are a lot higher than your ways. If it seems abnormal, it's because you ain't never handled that just like that. That's why we're still in this mess. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 23 through 24. And I'm actually going to finish that. Y'all stay where I just said. I'm going to finish this thought here. It says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So you want healing in your life? Get that tongue to stop being so dumb. Get that tongue to where it hears something coming from a wise person. Because the words of a wise person, they're going to bring about healing. You either want to be whole or you want to be broken. Now change what you're hearing all day long.
Amen.
Stop calling that person up that's going to ag it on and say, yeah, you're justified. Because sister and brother, you ain't. I wish we were. We're not. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 16, verses 23. And it says, a wise man's heart guards his mouth. Why does it do that? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why it says in God's word, a wise man's heart does the guarding. Your heart should guard your mouth. The reason it doesn't is because you've let that heart go on too long thinking them mean thoughts and thinking them thoughts of revenge and of self-gratification and all this stuff. So you've let that heart think it, and that heart is not guarding that mouth anymore. For some of us, it never did. If we're even more honest. Amen? And it says, and his lips promote instruction. A wise man's heart guards his mouth, and his lips promote, push up, instruction. You wonder where there's been a problem in your life? You've lacked instruction. You haven't got the instruction because you've let that foul stuff grow up in your heart. And where the heart should have been guarding what your big mouth was saying, it wasn't doing its job because you didn't do your job and take every thought captive. Make it obedient. That's a very difficult thing to do because, like I said, I like to binge on those terrible thoughts of what I would like to say and do. But Jody, I also don't like to be in the same spot for years at a time. It's a bummer. Dad said one time in a funeral, I'm getting his funeral bloopers all racked up in my head. One time he said this and I just, oh my gosh. Thank God I was in the nursery. He said, that's a bummer. He didn't know what else to say about the person. They just begged him to do it. He just kept saying, death is a bummer. It's a bummer when we keep doing the same thing. It is a bummer when we stuck in the same spot. It's just a bummer. God don't want that for you. God wants you to be happy and He wants you to be whole. He wants that mouth to come in with His word, because when it does, your breakthrough is connected to that mouth and what you're letting say. You're concerned of why you're still there? Because you know what? It's just like God told me this week, Kelly, I'm not releasing you to call that person. Because you know what? You're still not ready to pass that test. Because the moment that they say something rude, and they're going to, it's a given, you're going to say something else. I said, God, I've worked on this for 14 months. It don't matter. You got to know your limitations. But you know what else I know? I know that when I least expect it, but when I'm most ready, that thing, that's a divine appointment. See, you think the devil's going to let you never come into contact with your enemy? You think you're never going to have an opportunity to pass a test with your mouth? You are. And you're going to pass it because you're going to control what that heart is thinking. When it starts thinking terrible things, you're going to stop saying, well, they deserve it. You're going to stop justifying that, and you're going to get real with yourself. Some of us have never got real with ourselves. Some of us have never said, I have the problems I have today. It's not my mama's fault. It's not my ex-husband's fault. It's not my ex-wife's fault. It's my fault. I did it. People don't like to take responsibility. They like to pass the buck off to the next person they think is going to look like it's on them. But see, it ain't. It is not on them. When you stand before God and you try to pull that, He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You always blamed it on Sally Sue. It's not Sally Sue, it's you. Now that's strong. I get it. And this is not a putting it in your face type of message, but this is a you get it right. You're going to have a lot of blessing. You're not going to think about your enemy because you're going to be blessed. We put too much thought in our enemies, too much thought in our critics, and it keeps us riled up day after day. And we keep this mind going with things to where when we pass these people that we're supposed to have ministered to and touched their life, we miss them because we are riled up in our head with our enemy. God don't want that for you, to constantly be arguing in your head with somebody, to constantly never be able to let it go. I had several verses here, but I'm going to skip down to Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. And it says, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity and let your conversation be always full of grace. So, oh my gosh, here we go. We got to be full of grace. I'm already having difficulty. Okay, grace. Seasoned with salt. There's a reason why God says you're the salt of the earth. Salt makes people thirsty. So when He says, speak with grace, but yet be seasoned with some salt. Have something to give somebody when they're having their worst day. When everything's gone wrong, I want you to speak some grace, but I want you to be so full of my goodness that you know what, it's catchy and somebody wants that. They're going to want it so bad, they're going to seek me for it. And when they seek me, I'm going to set them free of the things that's always been wrong. Amen? And it says, season with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, there's things you're gonna come up again, and you're gonna have an opportunity to answer and to respond and to react in a different way. And when it comes about, recognize it and say, God, I've been here so many times, but God, reach down right now, touch this mouth. God, they've hurt me and I don't have the words to say, but God, you do. You are the author and finisher of my faith. God, touch my mouth. Help me to say something that's really full of grace. Give me the words to say to them, God, because just because I'm weak, that doesn't mean that you're not a strong God. You are a strong God. God, give me the words to say, because God's word, we just read it, said you will know how to answer everyone. You'll know. You'll have a knowing. There's been times in your life where you've said, I don't even know how to answer them. I see that in somebody. I don't know how to answer that person. I feel like I've been here with them a million times. I feel like I know all their little games that they're playing, and I just don't even know how to respond. God's going to give you something different because You may not have heard something like this before, but he's putting something in there right now where you're going to know how to respond. And when you get it in your knowing, Megan, the knowing comes in here. He's speaking to that heart, and he's getting to where you know. You're probably not going to want to say it. You're probably not going to want to do it. But if you do, you're on your way. Amen. Let's have our pastor back up here.
Thank you, Father, for the word, for the truth of the word. You know, a lot of times, I know what Kelly is talking about. And half the time I'm telling him, yeah, you need to call him up. It's time to let him know. But you know, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And I think our hearts have to be right before we speak on certain topics to certain people. Let me say that again. I think there's nothing worse than feel like we haven't been effective in life. But I think our heart has to be right before we say certain things to certain people. Now, that's splitting hairs on things, but somebody here might be getting that. I can tell you this here. One of the hardest things that I do is when I try to be a peacemaker in a situation. But the word says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called. The children of God. My highest calling is I'm a son of God. And your highest calling, you may not see this yet, is either you're a son or a daughter of God. And everything I do is contingent about how that relationship works. And I know when it's out of whack, personally. It's the worst feeling for me, because if I mess up with the things and the relationships beneath me, that filters up to the number one thing. I'd really like the Lord to say every day of my life, Angelo, you've done good. You know, there's nothing else really in life. There's nothing greater. The greatest motivation is the approval of God. If what you think, what you say, and what you do is approved of God. I have days like that, but I have days when I miss it. When we miss it, well, that's what the ministry of Jesus is all about. But we miss it. But when we get tired of missing it in certain areas, we'll get it right. Words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Those are wrote the right words with the right temperament at the right time. And you can be sure of this. If you have somebody that you resent or somebody that you're cross with, or somebody that's cross with you, you're going to meet them. You're going to meet them. And then what? Maybe somebody's broken your heart. And you think, I'm going to just let them have it. But it's better to be a peacemaker. Because then you're known as a Christian, as a child of God. I think that's hard. I don't think that's easy. I think a person has to be on guard. In the book of James, chapter 3, the word says, the tongue is very hard to control. It's very easy to just blah and say things that we shouldn't. God knows, I know that it's too easy. Let's stand. I feel like you've received the word this morning. What a beautiful word. What a true word. You know, great preachers preach out of the laboratory of their life, what's going on in their life. That's what Kelly's doing. And you know what? What she just preached. How many of you can find a place that fits in your life? Okay. All right then. You know what else fits in your life every day? The blessing of God that I'm about to speak on you. Would you lift up your hands? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his power, his spirit, to control and change you and make you a new creation in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. God bless you all. Jeremy is preaching tonight.